Blog Talk Radio.
I can hear him banging. He's trying to get in. He's getting close to the door. I'm going to go ahead and get the gun out. It's a shotgun. It's large.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks, Fred. I just want to let the listeners know you're listening to Reach Out America Radio, sponsored by World Integrity News Network. The program is Imploding the Illusion, and I'm your host, Raquel Okai. We had to take a couple of minute break because we had some technical difficulties, but we are back on. And the first part of the program, we were talking extensively about the Twin Peaks case on May 17th, where 9 people were shot dead and killed, and 239 people were detained. We had an attorney from Texas who was representing at least 2 of the people who were detained, Mr. Bob Gill. Are you back on the line, Mr. Gill? Okay, not yet. Just you and me and you, Fred?
Okay. Raquel, if I may, because I did hear the beginning statements of Bob Gill, the attorney, the Twin Peaks shooting, when it did occur, one of the things that I noticed about that particular incident, and it was horrific with the loss of life, but when you look at how there was over 177 arrestees. They were taken in. That we got to look at this as I find it hard to believe that 177 people would be there, and that this was not surveilled, or these gangs were not under surveillance from undercovers previously. And I will say that because it happens here in New York in the NYPD, where they actually have undercovers that are actually roaming with biker gangs. And down in Texas, a little more dynamic, different is because they can carry weapons. So it's not something that is like taboo, like what we have here in New York in a gun-free zone where crime is actually double than it is in Texas, where people can actually have guns. So,
it's a dynamic, right? I remember reading, because Rodney Jackson was talking about the idea that, you know, how do these law enforcement, you know, make affidavits if they weren't actually there? However, I also recall reading in the newspaper that there was a police presence at the Twin Peaks rest, and I could be wrong, it could be a false report, I don't know, that there was a police presence even before anything happened.
There were 12 officers from what I gathered, and there were probably more. It was probably wireless surveillance being taken place. And, you know, Raquel, I would not be surprised if some of those gang members were undercovers and they were actually wearing bugs. And so, you know, one thing you got to remember about how these things work, if the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the FBI are investigating and they arrested 177 people and this whole thing went down, there's a good possibility that down there, and I'm not sure who runs that operation, but they are joint task force where they use local law enforcement and they work with the feds. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what you got here. And so this broad, because it sounds very broad that you would take people in without evidentiary hearings. If you don't have a hearing of what you're going to charge a person, they could keep them in jail for 9 months, or they could keep them under surveillance for 9-10 months before their trial comes up. And which to me, at the end of the day, the district attorney can just say, well, we don't, Your Honor, we're dropping the charges. Because not everybody of those 177 are going to be charged. It was actually
239, and they haven't even been indicted by a grand jury yet.
So what that tells me,
and I'm not from Texas, I'm not an attorney, but I do know that sometimes when you have, first of all, they must have spent a lot of money watching these guys, and if it's going to be a witch hunt, and they're, you know, and that fight, we don't even know how that thing got started. They said it was in the bathroom. Sometimes what happens is if you have a mole that wants to create havoc, and years ago I found out that, you know, not to throw this off, but in New York City, when the Young Lords were organizing and they were fighting New York City, that they had some members of the police department infiltrate the organization and then started havoc. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened here. It just doesn't seem right that this many amount of bikers in gangs got together. Who would create that unless somebody wanted to profit from it or to take the high road and to make it a media frenzy? And also, look at how this plays out in Texas. Now in this country, we have a government run by the White House, the Democrats, under Obama, where that they want to make people who carry guns look as bad and as vilified as they could possibly be. Now, we understand that people got killed here, but if they had their hands in that, I would not be surprised. Why? Because there's something bigger here. And when you're talking about the profiting of getting the surveillance, there's another thing. It's about the image of how they want to portray people who do carry guns in this country. Not everybody is violent.
I agree with you. That's a very good point, because they do that. It's an incremental gun control. They want to do is demonize certain groups so that they can take their gun rights away. For instance, when marijuana turned legal in the state of California, well, they wanted to say, well, they shouldn't be carrying arms. Use that certain group. Now, when they're done trying to take away, you know, pot smokers, gun rights, well, then now they're moving for the bikers. Well, we don't think bikers really, so let's demonize them. Yeah, and I think it's a concerted effort. It does come down from the Obama administration, and it is, at least in part, an effort to implement gun control incrementally. They want to take away guns from the vets who suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome. They want to take guns away from parents. They want to take guns away, you know, any group. I mean, it's group after group after group until all the guns are gone. I mean, that's what I think.
And also the political ramifications of this, and whether anybody wants to admit it or not, but the governor of Texas, who is running for president, or supposedly he's running, he's not been nominated, but he's a player in there, and then also the fight against gay marriage, because, you know, you got to look at a lot of things, because the gay marriage thing didn't just come up. It was a fight for months, and a lot of people talk, and it's the idolatry of the attorney general. And so, you know what, I'm not surprised if, and I'm not sure, but it's just a hypothetical here, that the feds had their hands in on this, and that meeting and arrangement was conducted for a reason. Somebody wanted them to be there, and it wasn't just because they wanted to go see the Wizard of Oz. They went there. They want to see Dorothy in the nice bikini or whatever. They wanted to go there because something was going to go down. And that's usually how it happens when you have these types of too many people in surveillance, and they're infiltrating. And, you know, the right to assembly and whatever. We don't even know how that thing got started. They said it was in the bathroom. You just don't know, because all it takes is one firecracker to set everything off. I would never have imagined that all these gangs would get together in a restaurant.
Let me stop you right here. There's no such thing as a gang. I mean, there are gangs everywhere, right? But I saw guys with patches with Marine emblems, colors on their jackets. That's not a gang to me. That's a motorcycle club. That's a group or a gathering. There were some people there from Austin that had actually a Christian motorcycle club, and they had never been arrested.
Yeah,
that's
the fact that somebody has a tattoo or a test is not the mean if they are not a gang member.
Right. No, I agree. And here's
I wanted to make one point.
Is crazy because they're putting that out that they were gangs. That's, you know, that liberal media, because that's what we were reading out here. So
right.
That's all.
I absolutely agree with you. I'm Donald. I am a disbarred lawyer from New York who has tried eight homicides to verdict, 77 felonies. One of the things that you hit on, sir, and I forgot because I wasn't listening. We talked 2 weeks ago. Your name is?
Efren Gonzalez.
Efren.
And who is the other guy?
This is Ted Topier.
Okay. One of the things that my buddy who was retired, he's retired administrator for the United States Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons, sent me an article recently that is really, really alarming. The ATF has been using the Inspector General for the Department of Justice released a report. I'm going to send it to Raquel to send to you two.
Awesome.
They released a report that in the last 5 years, there has been a, what would you say, geometric progression of, instead of going in front of a federal magistrate to obtain a Title III wiretap, because one of you guys was talking about, you know, they infiltrated a snitch or an informant or someone, you know, one of the bikers to instigate, to get into this.
Yes.
So what the ATF has done, San Bernardino County, California, somebody exposed that 97% of the federal ATF cases going into that U.S. District Court, the original wiretap order came from a local judge, state judge. And as we all know,
it can't.
No, but it can. It actually, it can come from a local judge, but the ATF wasn't being truthful when they're standing outside and the San Bernardino cop is saying, hey, you know, I need this wiretap, you know, this and this. And it's really a joint state-federal investigation. And the Inspector General said that this kind of conduct is unacceptable. The Associate Attorney General for the Criminal Division in D.C. said, well, you know, it is unacceptable, but, you know, we have confidence and faith any judge, whether it is a U.S. District Court judge or a El Paso, a Waco, Texas magistrate with 2 years training can do this. And interestingly enough, after this report was released, the ATF went back, and now DOJ ordered them, unless there is not a magistrate available, which, again, is a joke. I mean, there's always a federal magistrate. There's a duty.
So they get to basically go to a kind of an inexperienced local judge and get it done one way or the other.
They go to somebody who does not ask. I mean, first of all, ex parte communication. If you've ever, friends of mine who have been assistant U.S. attorneys, when you go in, it's me, Efren, he's got a gun on, he's got a suit on, American flag lapel pin, I'm the same way, and I present an affidavit from him, and 90-something percent of the time, they're going to approve that wiretap. But the problem is, when you go to a local court, they don't have the same training, because sometimes, guys and gals, the feds will reject a wiretap application. And the magistrate will say no, or they will put parameters on it saying that you have 5 minutes to monitor the conversation. And if in those 5 minutes, is it Ephraim, sir?
Yes.
If Ephraim and Donald have not talked about a overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy, an agreement, anything, you have to stop it. The local court judges...
They don't do that.
No, and, you know, the last thing I want to say was, you know, I'm 20 miles north of the city in Nyack, but I used to live in Dutchess County. Do you guys know where that is?
I do. Yeah, I'm from Hartford, so.
Yeah, and in New York, to be a village court judge, you do not have to be a lawyer.
No, you could be anybody off the
street.
Yeah.
And I one time... He was the head groundskeeper at Bard College. Great guy. And he actually, The screwed up thing is the guy probably knew more than a U.S. district court judge. He just is not the brightest knife in the bunch. Smart knife. So I get a call one night, and we did an arraignment on a homicide while he was milking his cows.
Well, he was what?
He was milking his cows.
His cows. Oh,
in the
nice.
Barn.
Right.
And the Dutchess County Sheriff said, my guy, and ADA was there, and we're stepping in shit.
Oh, man.
And Raymond, so the point is that this Wiretap Act is, I got to send you guys this article, because it was amazing how San Bernardino... 97% of their wiretaps were really a cover for the ATF.
Yeah, because people were going to local law enforcement to say, hey, we want to do this. You go and apply for it, you get it, and then basically you give us all the evidence and we'll go ahead and collect it. But they wouldn't go to a federal magistrate because it was too hard, and they might have gotten rejected. And then all of a sudden the local guy, he's dumber than a box of rocks and doesn't have training. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's usually in collusion with most of the local cops anyways. So even if they screw up, it doesn't matter. He's going to cover them anyway. So there you go.
Exactly. And he puts no restrictions on it.
Yeah.
Absolutely no restrictions on the wiretap.
And then as that investigation goes, you find that they'll have so much evidence because of that local wiretap that they're able to get what they want. And they're masquerading and it's probably breaking the law more than, you know, some of these criminals because of the way they obtained it.
You know what they're doing, guys? They're identifying the weakest point in the link, or as my boss in Chicago at the Murder Task Force said, the lowest point, you know, where the waterfall, and you identify a snitch that way.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you go in and say, hey, you know, in Texas, it's, you get 3 years for, you know, having a gun as a felon or whatever violation.
Right.
Here's the, United States Sentencing Guidelines. This is 360 to life, racketeering murder. Now, you got about 15 minutes. Do you want to decide what we're going to do here?
Hmm. Wow.
This doesn't make sense to me. I'll tell you what. A lot of things are going wrong, haywire. Nobody's following the Constitution. The media,
yeah.
the elected officials. The law enforcement, it's like they're one big big party, and the American people are the ones getting screwed.
Lynch, you know, the African-American attorney general, you know, she's launching investigation after investigation over split-second decisions that are taking place. And I'm not saying what happened to Sandra Blonde is okay. But what I am saying is many of my friends are... current, former law enforcement on the state and federal level. And until you've been placed in a position in a dark alley where you ask somebody under your reasonable suspicion to say, hey, I'm a police officer, can you turn around? And you see a little something black in their hand, and they say, fuck you, and raise their hand, and you have a tenth of a second cognitively to decide, is that a gun or is it not a gun?
Okay, well, I mean,
and
I understand
Loretta
that.
Lynch
has
done nothing with Waco, Raquel, is what I'm saying. And Ephraim and the other guy, has there been any DOJ presence down there? Did Obama go down there?
No.
Did Holder go down there? No one.
No one.
Are we talking? Okay. Let me just. I don't want. I just want to be directed here. We're getting back now. What I'd like to do, you all, is go back now to the Sandra Bland case, and I'm glad that you brought it up, Donald. Because we did talk about, we are at the top of the hour. We did cover, I think, the Twin Peaks case, brought it up to speed, hopefully for the listeners. And I'm not going to stop talking about that either, because I want to know what happens. I'm not going to let these things get buried, because what happens in the media is that, you know, they pick and choose the stories they want. I find them to be very biased. Sometimes they're very conservative. Sometimes they're very liberal. Either way, we're not really ever getting that good reporting out of journalists. What we're getting is a lot of biased information, and I think people are holding back. You know, I don't think they're really being truthful. So what I try to do with this radio program is that I'm not afraid to tell the truth. I'm not afraid to talk about things, and I'm not afraid to bring people on who are going to give information. This is all very good, because you know what? You're not going to get this stuff on CNN, Fox News, the local newspapers. But you're going to get it here.
Sandra Bland, and then I'm going to hang up. Ephraim, who is the law enforcement official on the phone?
Rodney Jackson.
Hey, Rodney. And then if you guys Google my name, Donald Roth, I was set up and targeted by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York, 2004. I was doing my job. I had an investigator talk to an informant. I don't need permission from anyone to talk to an informant. They charged him with conspiracy to witness tamper, and then he wouldn't flip on me, said I did nothing wrong. The New York State Defenders Association. And by the way, Rodney, he was wearing a tape recorder taped to his back. The only people who I know who memorialize crimes are pedophiles or psychopaths.
Right.
And long story short, I spent 48 months in the U.S. Department of Bureau of Prisons, and I was not at a camp eating Mama Maria's cheese sauce, free cheese sauce, and Doritos. They shipped me all over the country. I was at 12 facilities, a camp, a low, medium, high, a U.S. penitentiary, and a federal medical center. The only place I wasn't was in ADX, Colorado. I was on Con Air 6 times. I used to help inmates.
Wrap it up, Donald. You're going off topic.
I got another caller, too. No. All right, so my point with this was with Sandra Bland is, when you're in solitary confinement, the American Correctional Officers Association has standards. And every local, county, state, and federal prison has to go through an inspection. You would never have access to a garbage bag in solitary confinement. Forget about suicide watch. And number two, the only people I know who are going to stick marijuana up their ass are people who are getting on an airplane or driving over a border. You don't drive around.
Or going to visit somebody in jail.
Or they're secreted in jail. And I think that what they did was, this is one of the biggest cover-ups I have ever seen. None of it makes sense to me, having been a lawyer and having stats in solitary confinement. There is no way.
Hey, Donald.
Happen.
Donald, I got a question for you. I'm really, really confused about this. When you have a murder any investigation, okay? So maybe they're not calling it a murder investigation. But the police officers have a job to investigate what happened. She's dead. She has hanging from a bag. I've been asking all of my friends on Facebook, where did the bag come from? Where are the forensics of the bag? Okay, so we can figure out what make it is. Are there those bags sold in that jail? Where did it come from? We can track this down. That's what forensics is all about, right? So when I ask my friends, well, where did she get the bag from?
It is a FOIA of, it is looking at the SHU, the segregated housing logs. It is FOIAing all the logs. It is FOIAing ACA inspection. Somebody put a bag in there. They wanted her to do that.
But Donald, isn't it? I'm not yelling at you. I'm sorry. This story makes me really upset. Donald, I got to ask you this. I need an answer to this. When police, or maybe Rodney can answer this. When you're doing a police investigation on a death, and part of the evidence is obviously this plastic bag, does it not go to some specialist who tracks it down? What make? When was it purchased? Who purchased it? What kind of bags do they have in the jail? I mean, where the heck was that from?
Raquel, it does. Of course, if you're the prosecutor with unlimited money, unlimited resources on the state and federal FBI lab, if you are a small-town attorney, where are you going to come up with $10,000, $15,000 to hire a forensic specialist to locate, like they did with the wing of that airplane found in the Indian Ocean? Where are you going to come up with that money? And if you're an appointed lawyer for an African-American?
I understand what you're saying, but we're not talking about a civil case like, you know, John Doe against Jane Doe. I mean, we're talking about an incident in a jail where a woman turns up dead. Let me finish the question. Is it not the responsibility of the police department to figure out where the heck the bag came from?
No. It's not. And it may be during a civil suit, maybe during a FOIA, if somebody were smart and knew how to execute federal, state, and local FOIA, Freedom of Information Act requests, and contact the ACA, find out when they were inspected. To put it in perspective, in the state of New York, in a homicide case, someone's murdered, how much do you guys, Rodney and Ephraim and Raquel, how much do you think that in New York, an appointed lawyer can get for an investigator?
Well,
they have to make an application.
An hour. It would be $500 an hour times probably, I don't know, 40, 50, 100 hours, depending on the size of the case.
It's a $1,000 limit.
You're talking about court-appointed attorneys, not
hired. Yeah,
I'm a court-appointed attorney.
Yeah.
Talking about a court-appointed attorney.
Yeah.
I agree with everything Raquel said. I mean, there are experts like Michael. I cross-examined Michael Badden twice in two cases. To hire someone like him or to go to...
I don't know why
the police don't just do their own job in their own house. To go to Glad.
You know what? If somebody showed up dead in my house, I would be in jail.
What was this incident in Cincinnati, Raquel, where the body camera actually caused the officer, and he was found to be, you know, the chief of police decided that they called him in and they charged him because the body cam told. Why can't in city jails they wear body cams too? This is going to open up a lot of things because... what we're seeing now is what happens in that jail where Sandra Bland was. Who does the walkthrough? Who has contact with the inmates?
Right.
What do they say to them?
What are they doing?
There's absolutely no timeline given by the police department as to what occurred in the 3 days that she was there. No timeline whatsoever.
I have the most specific example that is point on. I was in segregated housing at Sandstone Federal Correctional Institution in Sandstone, Minnesota. It is a low, but the only difference between that and the pen is the type of inmate. There's a big fence. There's guys with guns. And it was built in 1942.
Oh, my God.
And there are two levels to segregated housing there. And you know, you've got the control door. You have three cops working. And I guess a couple years before I got there, and they have cameras, it was so hot that an inmate suffered a heat stroke. And the problem was that when the executive staff walked through every week, the warden, the AW, we call it the circus.
Right.
They would simply walk in, walk down the hallway, never go up to the second story, and leave. And so a federal judge had them put a thermometer, and they had to put a sign-in sheet and an additional camera on the second floor at the end of the hallway. So when the SHU lieutenant, I want to back up, I was wrong, not the executive staff. When the SHU lieutenant walked through every hour, they had to be able to then prove he walked all the way up, looked in every cell through the wicket,
right,
and signed that sheet at the end of the hallway
that
and had a camera,
yeah.
And the camera showed the temperature. That's how fucked up it is. I'm sorry. That is how screwed up it is.
No F-bombs. Sorry. I have another caller, guys, if you don't mind. I think that he's going to bring in, I think he wants to make a comment about the Twin Peaks. So if you don't mind, we might switch back to Twin Peaks for a second.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, guys. Hang in with me too, Donald. Jim, he is from New York, Long Island. He's a Facebook friend of mine, very pro-Second Amendment. Hey, Jim, how you doing tonight?
Good, Raquel. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. No problem. I got in on the tail end of this, so you guys were kind of getting into the weeds on this thing, so forgive me. I'm not up to speed, but basically you've been talking about the shootout down in Texas with the bikers.
Correct.
And several people were killed or wounded, and we don't know who was shot by law enforcement and who was shot by other armed civilians, yada, yada, yada. But
right.
I don't know. Again, forgive me. I'm on the tail end of this. But
okay.
I was kind of putting my feet to sleep a little bit.
Okay.
And I mean no disrespect. I mean, people lost their
That's
lives.
Okay.
But I'm
yeah,
just saying
yeah.
that I wasn't, you know, I got in late on this and I'm not up to speed.
Right,
did you want to make a comment about the Sandra Bland case, or did you want to make a comment about the Twin Peaks, or maybe have a question?
Well, no, I've just I've been listening, and
okay.
It seems like we're going on and on and on and beating this thing to death. And
which thing,
I
the Twin Peaks?
The Twin Peaks
yeah,
thing, yeah.
The thing down in Texas. And,
yeah.
I don't know where it is at the moment. I don't know if the suggestion is that there's been some type of law enforcement cover up. You know, I guess I'm kind of a dumb guy. It seems to me that there was a shootout and several people were killed, and we don't know if some of the fatalities were the result of bikers or law enforcement. And like, duh, okay. Yeah, we'll try
well,
to figure
it's,
out
it's actually
it's more complex
well, it's
than that,
actually,
Jim, because it
it's
has
actually
to do with
bit.
What incited it. And I think Ephraim said that, or Ephraim or the other guy, is it doesn't make sense all those guys would have been there. Was that Ephraim?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you made a fabulous point.
Yeah. And the reason why I made that point is because around the country, and like I referenced to what happened in New York, the NYPD was shocked that a civilian had to run over a biker because they were intimidating him. But the problem was that while all these bikers were going around the city, and they were really causing...
Oh, you mean on the West Side Highway? Yeah,
right,
yep.
Right.
Okay. Yep.
But if the NYPD has an undercover that's actually involved, then their hands are all over it. And this is the thing. This was going on, and yet when something bad occurs, then everybody wants to blame the undercover. No, he was acting on his own. He was out on a personal day. When you're undercover, you work every day. You know,
exactly.
I don't understand what the hell that was all about.
I wish, you know, Raquel, I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's something you should run with, because what he just said is absolutely cogent, on point. You're undercover. You're on duty 24 hours a day. You have a duty to fucking to intervene.
Language. I wanted to make a point to James, please. The reason why I'm so perturbed by the whole thing is that, you know, it's a little bit more serious than what the news actually, I think, just generalizes and puts out there. What happened on May 17th at the Twin Peaks restaurant was that the biker clubs were meeting for a political meeting. There was something going on in the state house, some laws, some proposals. They were there to actually discuss this. So it was a meeting of biker clubs, and in fact, 9 people were killed, 18 were injured. But now here's my problem. 239 people detained, 239 people held on high bond, and even if they got out, even if they had the money, okay, they're held on high bond, they're home in ankle bracelets, they're paying all these fees, they lost their jobs, they lost their car, they lost everything, okay, their freedom, their lives. I mean, you get put in a hole like this, it can destroy your life, okay?
Yeah, it destroys your family, generations.
And it's your family, your everything. And now, you know, I don't like it that people are like, oh, well, you know, so what? Maybe the gangs did something bad. I don't give a crap. You know what I give a crap about? I give a crap about the Constitution. And what does it say in the Constitution?
Raquel,
239 people.
Tone it down. I give a crap that there has been no referral made to the U.S. Department of Justice to come in and look at a potential violation of civil rights by Texas law enforcement.
I think they were there. The problem is the DEA and the ATF were there. And I don't have to speak to you guys about Waco and what Waco really connotates, right, with the whole
Branch
Davidian
shootout.
Yeah. Yeah. The feds are not very loved in that
short
state.
It out.
You know, there, anyway. So, I mean, Waco, that happened 20-something years ago, that was horrible, you know, and what I think that image still sticks. And I'll tell you what, there's another thing, and I want people to understand that the media, they took their bits and pieces, they made their money off of this, but they don't want to get to the truth because they already projected to the people what this was all about. In their eyes.
Yes, bad guy, bad guy.
We got a lot of naive people in this country. Because they're not educated.
You're absolutely right. And you know what? No one has done... And I got to go to bed, Raquel. I got to visit tomorrow. Is two things. Somebody should have filed a FOIA with the Executive Office for the United States Attorney in D.C., which governs all the U.S. Attorney's offices, and asked all the questions that Rodney talked about. For instance, please delineate any communications prior to that date between any of the bikers there and list 168 names, between any LEO, any federal, state, county LEO. Please delineate conversations that have been had subsequent to the shooting between any prosecuting authority or LAO in Texas on any level. And that's it. The second and last point I wanted to make, going back to Sandra Bland, was the American Correctional Association, no one has an idea how much money they make. Every local jail, every county jail, every state prison, whether it's Sing Sing or ADX Florence or the Tallahassee County Jail, they get inspected by this NGO. And what it really means, and I've never foiled it to my chagrin, is they walk through, well, first of all, they get advance notice that they're coming in, and they are there to enforce exactly what Raquel was saying. How on earth could this lady have died like this?
Died, yeah.
There but are 3,011 counties in the United States.
Yep.
3,011.
And when I was imprisoned at Lompoc,
California,
in a penitentiary, the penitentiary in Pennsylvania. It's a brand new one. It's where they killed a guard, and then the guard on watch killed himself. Canaan. They got 2 weeks advance notice. Everybody starts painting. Everybody starts fixing up, you know.
Putting lipstick on the pig.
Yep.
Prisons are not nice places, and nice people don't go to prison.
They walk through, and that's it. And the most disappointing thing to me, I always say last thing, so here is my real last thing, is when I was at Sandstone or Rochester, I was all over the place. U.S. Senator Al Franken came to the prison.
Ugh.
And he actually had some balls and told the warden, you know, I don't want the captain, two guards. I want to sit down with some of these inmates and talk, but I don't want any of you here.
They didn't approve it, though,
any
right?
of you here. Oh, no, they did. They honored
it. They did?
Yes.
Prisons
and
are nasty places.
When I spoke to some of them, and some of the simple changes they talked about making, Franken totally ignored. It was a joke.
He's a zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Did nothing.
He should stay in show business.
Yeah. Guys, it's great.
That's a good one.
It's great, if one of you guys wants to put together a FOIA for the Executive Office of the U.S. Attorney in D.C., you know, get to Raquel, or if you guys cross-reference and Raquel, give these guys my email, I can send you a form FOIA to the Executive Office of U.S. Attorneys. I happen to do time with the largest lawyer fraud in the country, Mark Dreyer. Bernie Madoff is the largest Ponzi scheme.
Yep.
The guy who jumped off the Bear Mountain Bridge, or claimed to jump off the Bear Mountain Bridge.
Bridge, yep.
Sam Israel was the largest stock fraud. Mark Dreyer took $2 billion. Smartest man I ever met. Helped me get my habeas, helped me get exonerated, et cetera, afterwards. But this guy
knew
how to draft stuff. So I have, well, we're not off topic, Raquel, because I'm saying forward them my email address. And if you guys choose, I will be happy to send you a FOIA to send to Washington. It takes 6 months. With the exemption saying it is something in public need. The public needs to know what happened in Waco.
Right.
Because if not, they're going to charge you. They're going to say you can have 50 pages for free, and we got another 11,000. And then
Waco,
a different exception, they can send a TMCD-ROM.
Right.
And see what they come back with.
it's a good idea.
Donald,
I mean,
Yeah,
we will. Well, actually, you could find Donald on Facebook too. So we're.
Yeah, I did. Donald, I added you. I'm Ted, by the way, Donald.
Okay.
All right, sir.
And the reason I was saying Mark Dreyer is he's so smart.
Yeah.
He corrected all these FOIAs that I was doing in prison for prisoners. And he said, always ask for not the records, the records and all communications.
Right, yeah.
And he was right. I mean, because that broadened it. Communications.
The emails, the letters, all of the inter-office communications, all of that associated with what was going on at the time
with the investigation. Exactly.
Yep.
All right, guys.
Well,
Godspeed.
What did this conversation
Take
start
care.
Out about? Because I'm very confused. I'm just curious.
Say again, Jim?
This is Jim talking.
Okay, Jim, what he was doing was with Sandra Bland in that whole piece, as well as the Twin Peaks incident.
Okay, the shootout with the bikers in Texas.
Right, the bikers were Twin Peaks, right. Sandra Bland is the woman that died in Texas just, you know, close to Hempstead or, you know, a little bit away from there, probably about 4 or 5 hours southeast of there near Houston. What ended up happening is there are certain policies and certain protocols that have to happen in prison. If you are a prison guard and you are in charge of a prison, if there's prisoners there, you have to make rounds. You have to check the prisoners out. You have to maintain a log when you did it, how you did it. There's videos when the meal was delivered.
I know a couple of correction officers here in New York State. Yep.
All right. Well,
yep.
Great. So you know that there's policies and procedures that are governed by the American, or I think it's the American Corrections Association, and so. It's a NGO organization that governs prisons and the policies and the execution of those policies within the prisons or within the jail.
Let's cut to the chase. The bottom line is what?
Nobody did their job, and there's no log or any record of them doing their job as the policy states.
The woman who was hanged in her cell, is that?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yep. Right. And also with the Twin Peaks piece is, if there was the rumors that I've seen and read in different various news agencies is the fact that there were actually snipers set up in hides, and a lot of the people that were killed were not actually killed with other people's handguns. They were only killed with 5.56, 308, and Winchester 300 magnums. So those wouldn't be a pistol round that you would have in the back pocket that you'd whip out and start a shoot up with. Those are rifle rounds.
Over 45 years here in New York State, so I'm very familiar.
So those
were long guns. Yeah.
Those are all long guns.
There were snipers popping people with long guns.
Right, and those are the nine people that died. They died with rifle rounds, not handgun rounds. So you can't tell me that state law enforcement officers weren't shooting people. They were, and there were no bullets found in people from handguns. So who was shooting whom?
Yeah, interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
But nobody cares. Where are you reading that? You're not going to read that on CNN. You know why? Because the minute CNN goes down that road, then the whole government agency that we bought into, hook, line, and sinker, looks like a bunch of idiots. So they're not going to publish that. And guess what? Well, if they ever did, they would never get access to another story ever.
Yeah. I've never bought into conspiracy theories, but, you know, certainly I'd be interested in finding out. You know, forensically, and I'm a shooter and a hunter, and as I say, I've been I've owned firearms since I was 10 years old, and I'm now 67 years old.
Right.
So, you know, I know a lot about firearms, so we could
Texas,
check it out. You know.
Yeah, Texas does have a long history of conspiracy theory plots, and going back to
JFK,
JFK, one of the greatest of all. And
I was in high school when he got popped. You know.
When anybody tells me that, you don't know what you're talking about. That, well, you got a Democratic-controlled Department of Justice, okay? They're appointed by the President of the United States, Barack Obama, and then you got hellfire with Texas. Look, I know that the federal government is not going to admit that they had anything to do with causing something. This has to be proven, though. But it has to be done by ballistics. It has to be done by, well, who's got the evidence? And they're holding on to it. And there'll be a patsy. They'll say that a couple of officers from the Texas local police were the ones that were doing the shooting. It's crazy. But you're right, because if a reporter goes down that road, they'll never be allowed in that state again to do a story.
No, and the other concept, too, is, right, is in Texas you had the federal ATF down there with the Fast and Furious guns, right? They were buying guns from local dealers, trying to put them into population within the Mexican drug cartel, and then trying to trace them where they showed up. Now, when you're doing this illegally and you're coercing local gun shop owners to participate in this without really eliciting all their feedback and all the knowledge and allowing them to understand what the risk that they're putting themselves and their business at, that's not law enforcement. That's an extortion ring that is working against the betterment of your civil rights and civil liberties.
Yeah. I hold an FFL. I've been an FFL for probably about 30 years. So, yeah, well, I was interested in that.
So now you know where the government is at. When they go to these local dealers, and it's probably a local law enforcement that does the introduction, they buy a bunch of rifles or handguns or whatever they were doing with Fast and Furious, and those guns are being then transported directly into the hands of the drug cartel so they could try to figure out where the guns were flowing. You know, I don't understand it.
The line I like is Pogo. We have seen the enemy and he is us.
Right.
What's even more shocking is that when it was revealed that was exactly that happened, you had an attorney general and Eric Holder.
Holder.
Lied. What? Eric Holder lied.
He's a bad man.
Investigators of the congressional committee that told them he denied that it was his fault in doing that. He made it sound like it was something that he was made aware of. He had it on his desk.
Yep.
He knew the operation. But
he had signed off on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think people have to be a little bit more smarter, and that's why we can't always turn on the cable box. Cable box, you know, I was always told it was the idiot box when I was a kid, and sometimes we get a bunch of idiots that go roll with it, and everybody's on their cell phones and their smartphones. They're not that smart if you're going to act ignorant.
There's no news in the truth, and there's no truth in the news, except when it comes on, like, in the form of what Raquel does or the other sort of, I'll call them web independent, you know, news agencies.
Raquel is good. I like Raquel. Raquel, by the way?
Huh?
Is Raquel still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I thought you were taking a nap for a while.
I took a nap.
We're putting your feet to sleep. We're in the weeds here and all this stuff.
No.
Yeah, I know. You know, I think I just pretty much had too many callers, and I've done that before, and I apologize because I really want to give. I love Bob Gill. I wanted him to give a comment about Sandra Bland. I think I lost Rodney Jackson. It's my own fault. I just booked the meeting.
I'm sorry.
Because everybody has something really interesting to say.
I'm blaming you. I want to give everybody a chance. It's all your fault.
Oh, no.
I hate
that's
you.
Right.
We're blaming you. You have, remember what Lord Palmerston once said. It's better to hang an innocent man than no man. Okay, so we're going to hang you. That's it.
No.
You're
it. Well, that's not fair.
I'll see you guys. I'm going to bed.
Okay.
All right, James.
Okay, Raquel, everybody, have a good one. Maybe next
Thank
week.
Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate you calling in.
All right, Raquel.
Talk to you later. All righty, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Let me just mention about the Sandra Bland case, and that's something that now – I'm beyond the traffic stop. The traffic stop happened. The walkthrough where she got her ID snapshot taken. Okay. The meat of this case now is what we're not hearing. And what that comes down to is what was the role of those law enforcement, those prison guards, whoever, however you want to call them, what was their role for those who were in the timeline of while she was in that prison, that jail, and what were their actions? What were the actions of people who were hanging around, who were off duty, if there were any? How did the marijuana stay in her system? That's something that
three
is
days?
Crazy. Yeah, I don't believe that. I think that somebody must have given it to her. Was there anyone in that prison? Did they have any evidence room there where that they held narcotics? Who had access? Who was doing the walkthrough? I'm going to tell you.
We don't know.
The answer to that question is we don't know. They have not put that information out. I think they're leaking information that makes them look good. I think they're, of course, doing a terrible investigation. I mean, I know, you know, yeah, she was pulled over. Okay, fine. But I have to go back to that pullover because I have a real issue with
it's
the public
issue.
Accepting,
yeah, it's huge.
Accepting
it's huge
the
issue.
Idea. Right. I have a real problem with the public accepting the idea that a police officer has a right to tell somebody to do something, like put out a cigarette, and then if that person doesn't pull out the cigarette as they told them to, that they have a right to assault you. I have big problems with that. I just cannot put my head around it. How any man could drag, I mean, forget about he's law enforcement, okay? The lady didn't, she pulled over because he was on her ass on the car, right? So she pulls over to get out of his way, and then he pulls her over for not, you know, signaling. I mean, that's what I think happened. He goes over there, he asks a few questions, he's the one asking her questions, okay? She says, what do I got to put my cigarette out for, right? Or whatever it was.
I didn't do
it. And now he puts himself inside her car. He, as soon as he threatened her
with a lethal weapon,
and then assaulted her, banged her head on the floor, that he can come around now and charge her with the exact same thing that he did to her. And that still stands, right? So even though she's dead and all, it still stands that the public thinks that she assaulted a police officer when the tape shows she never did.
Who
was assaulted? She was.
Right,
so
yeah.
Why is it? Why is it that the public, the police, everybody gets to just keep repeating the lie that she was arrested for assaulting a police officer when in fact we all know by the dash cam that she did not assault him. He assaulted her. Why does
right.
that still get to go out the
right. Well, there's another point to this, too, because when the other female officer shows up in that video, she asked the officer, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm fine. No problem. There was no assault. He did not get assaulted, and he was not in fear of his life from a cigarette. So
exactly.
He had no right to take her out of a car where she did not commit a crime, there was no probable cause of a crime, and then bring her through that whole shit storm. There was nothing. There was not a thing. There was nothing, no probable cause. That man violated every freaking statute that a cop and oath of office that an officer takes. And there is no excuse on this planet that anyone can tell me that woman deserved to be abused by that man. That was a
right.
It was an assault.
Yes,
that, I agree. And doesn't it upset you? Because it upsets me. When I have to argue this point that, okay, hold on a second, everybody. You know, hold on a second. Look at the video. The dude assaulted her. A man assaulted a woman, and you all are defending him. And now I have to defend a dead woman. I mean, what are people thinking? I mean, are they watching the same video that I am?
They don't care. They just hear something, and that's what they go on. And unfortunately, you know, law enforcement is not held accountable for their mistakes because the judges feel, well, if they do hold people accountable, then they're setting the wrong precedents and police won't take a chance to solve a problem. Well, you know what? I'm all done with that theory. I'm completely done. There are laws of nature and there are laws of life. and you don't assault a woman that's in her car with a cigarette. I don't care if she has the worst attitude on the face of this planet. If she did not commit a crime, you say, okay, ma'am, thank you, having a great day, drive on. This guy has nothing else to do in his career, in his life, in his job, and so he wants to make an example out of somebody that doesn't even didn't commit a crime. But because the guy is bored out of his mind, this is what he gets himself into. And this is the problem that I have with law enforcement today. Law enforcement does not have crime to keep them busy. In my town alone, we spend $2 million a year on 27 cars, 35 officers, and you know what? 8 years ago, we used to have a resident state trooper. And you know what? The crime rate has not increased or decreased because now we spend $2 million on law enforcement. We just give people pensions now for social welfare. This bullshit has to stop.
Yeah, well I also want you to know that when I looked at that video with the officer and Sandra Bland, I want you to know, and I have told this to many people, she did not resist arrest. You know, I've had to tell police officers who have gone into conversations with me where they're defending the trooper. And I've put a couple in their place. They didn't like what I told them.
Yep.
Because I told them that the resisting arrest was actually a lie. And if he goes to a grand jury or if they do an investigation and he says that she resisted arrest, he would be lying under oath because she did not resist arrest. And it was for a minor moving violation, and he assaulted her. And what I was really surprised at was that this prosecutor in Waller County,
right,
name is Warren DeProm, and he's going along with that, you know, the suicide thing, and he's going along with the officer. And one thing I didn't notice that it came out of his mouth was that we're going to investigate. You know, if he had just given us a little bit more time to absorb this, and then he would say that they're running an investigation. They're not running an investigation.
They're not.
They're throwing video clips out there, and the media and the public that, you know, and I have to say that we're all a victim of this, but we feed the frenzy by clicking and liking on Facebook and on Instagram and on YouTube and on Twitter. But the problem is that good hardcore investigating has to take place here, because I want to know if this officer has done it to
other people. Right.
And I think that is going to have to be done by the Civil Rights Commission, the Office of Civil Rights, because they're going to have to go back and look and see who. He might have arrested women the same way that we've never talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what happened?
When did America get to this place where police officers, because of video cams and everything else, and phone, everyone has a video on their phone, because now we're seeing it with our own eyes, because it's being recorded over and over and over, all this police brutality. I just don't understand how a person, a reasonable person, okay, and they don't even have to care so much, but a reasonable person looks at this and says, yep, good job. Good job, Mr. Officer. That woman should have never mouthed off.
I have a theory about this, Raquel. I have a theory about it, and I'll make it as quick as possible. First of all, it started off in the 60s and 70s with Adam 12 and Dragnet and all these other police officer shows, where they basically started this propaganda where they said, okay, all of America needs police officers because they're doing great jobs and they're all perfect and everything. Well, back when I was growing up, you know the kind of guys that became police officers? And Efren, I don't want to offend anybody, but those guys were fucking Eagle Scouts. Those people were pillars of fucking the community. Here's the issue. Now we've got some guy that didn't graduate out of high school or barely graduated out of high school, sold drugs, was probably a car thief, and now he's on the local police force. And
You're right.
Armed.
Oh, are right on, because that's why and I'm going to speak with where I live. The NYPD is half of what it was back in the old days, because they actually take people with DUIs.
Right, and let's talk about the old days, right? The old days were you were scrutinized. You had to meet a certain standard. And now that standard is just – they're trying to fill bodies and fill positions, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I'm generalizing, and not every person that joins the police force has that. But I'll tell you what happens as they get into it. They get told to look the other way here. They get told to bend this a little bit. They get told to lie here, protect this guy there, protect her there, whatever. And so then what you do is over 15 or 20 years, you get accustomed to bending and sort of dealing with the gray area rather than being held to a high standard because the lieutenant or the sergeant or whoever's above you has been doing it for 25 years and doing the same thing you're doing. So there's an expectation that when the good cop, you know, the good guy says, no, that guy, you know, violated that person's rights. He shot him or whatever. It was a bad shoot. No one wants to hear that. And so you're a good cop. You're not going to go against the whole freaking regime because the minute you do, you're out.
Well,
you're done.
This is the story of Frank Serpico.
Serpico, man. My favorite story in the world. Dude, I've watched that movie 35 times.
Did you really?
that story of Frank Serpico was
really
true because they did set him up. He still has the bullet inside his head.
And he lives in Switzerland now, right? Because he can't even live in
the United States. No, he lives in upstate New York now. He moved back to New York. He does. Right. He's still alive. And
I want to get him on my show.
I would love to meet him.
I would love to hear what he has to say.
If you guys could reach out to him and see if he'll come on my show, I'll invite you two and let's do a whole show.
Actually, Raquel, I got to tell you this. I meant to tell you this a few months ago when I was in some of the hell that I was in. Uh-huh. His nephew reached out to me on Facebook and said he's my uncle.
Oh, wow.
His nephew saw what I wrote on a Facebook post, and I think it was on your webpage or your Facebook page, and he said, he's my uncle.
Wow. So I think you should reach out to him and let's get him on the show.
All right. This is just asinine. And, you know, I have a theory. I'm a mathematician. I'm a scientist. I'm an engineer. And there's this guy named Kurt Gödel, and he wrote these theorems about nature and about engineering and about systems. And basically, the theorem is this. Any system, no matter how much work you do to design it to be perfect, has these serious flaws that actually tear down the system and break it all apart. And what I'm saying is, you know, from 500,000 years ago to the early 1900s, we never had law enforcement. Law enforcement has only been in act since, you know, late 1700s, early 1900s, and then more formally in the early 1920s and 30s, right? So what did we do as a society prior to 1920? Were we on the verge of dying and killing each other?
No.
It's become a social welfare. We don't have standards. And the judicial branch is no different. Like, judges are no different. The judges aren't any better than the cops that don't know what they're doing because they don't hold themselves to any standard, and they have no governing body telling them to hold themselves to a different standard. Otherwise, they're going to get terminated. And
the entire criminal justice system is more criminal than just.
Just.
And the reason is, just like you said, Ted, it's because there's no accountability. So these guys get away with whatever they want. And then they get used to it. So it's the blue wall, one cop lies, 10 swear by it. I mean, how do you get justice like that? The definition of justice is the truth. So you can't get justice without truth. So it's obvious, at least the three of us, that there's a lot of injustice going around. And what the media does is they like this bad guy versus good guy scenario, and then they're good. All right, now I'm going to go to my tennis lesson, and I'm going to go pick up my kids from school. And the good guy versus bad guy scenario is all I need to hear, and that's what the media puts out. So they say, well, Sandra Bland shouldn't have mouthed off, and she's the bad guy. And, of course, the police officer is always the good guy.
He's always right.
Everyone goes on and on.
Yeah, and you get the sense that in this country they want to declare martial law. These are the little things that they want to put on us because
they do.
No, you can't talk back to a police officer. No,
right.
You can't do that. No, you can't go around with bikers into a restaurant and have a meeting. But I thought that was a setup. You know, that's the way I will see about that. But
right.
I'll tell you another thing.
It might have been.
The law enforcement really took a turn when J. Edgar Hoover they formed the FBI. There's a lot of stuff that the government and we were fighting. We were coming out of a war in World War One, and everybody was still looking for their face because even though the war was over, you had this thing of the communism because it was us against them. And what happened in the FBI, and they went after people who, because of their beliefs. I mean, that was the edifice of how... It's crazy. But Raquel, I'm going to have to step away.
Oh, you're not going to sing now? You're not going to sing with us?
You know what? I'll stay and sing because I didn't realize the time. I thought I have to go somewhere, but I will definitely wait and stay.
Okay.
But I just want to by just saying this one thing, Raquel, and then I'm gonna go. And
go ahead.
You don't understand your limitations until you're confronted by people who will never accept your, you know, like who have no limitations. So when people believe in the Constitution and they study and they learn it, that we have a nation where almost three quarters of the nation don't even know what the U.S. Constitution means.
Right.
And then we wonder why we're all being told like trolls or weeble wobbles to think this way and that way. So educating the minds of reading the document that the forefathers of this country created because it was what they, listen, it happened long ago. A lot of the things that they put in there, it's relevant today. It's amazing. It's amazing. But
yeah, and they don't even teach it in high school. I mean, I don't know that the Constitution is taught in Common Core. I don't know that it's even taught anymore. But yes, of course, it is very, very relevant, especially to what is going on today. And that is that our liberties, our freedoms have been taken away from us. And our government, they're gone. And the idea that people are kind of walking around, you know, thinking that they're living in a free country until it hits them. Right, until they're hit up. And eventually it'll happen. The government will get them one way or the other, and then they'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And then it's too late. So it's the same argument. You know, first they came for my neighbor. I didn't care, so I didn't bother to complain. Then they came for me. So, you know, nobody was left, right? It's the same thing. If we don't at least address the injustices and talk about the injustices and also ask for accountability, and we just keep hitting them and hitting them with it, I just think it's the only way to move forward. Efren, don't leave me yet because we have 5 minutes, and what I want, and Ted, I don't know if you know this, but after every show of my show, actually every show on Reach Out America, we play the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah,
and
all right.
I always ask my guests to sing it with me because I love to sing it, and it's a great version, and it's it always brings tears to my eyes, but I just don't want to sing it alone. So I want a commitment from Efren and Ted.
Yeah,
you're going to sing with me?
Yeah. I'll let you guys in on a secret. Every morning I wake up at 6 o'clock on a local radio station, and they play the national anthem, and I actually sing it, not loud, like, you know, to anyone. I sing it to myself every single morning, except for Saturdays and Sundays they don't do it. But every morning during the week I sing it.
Okay, so you understand why I like doing this.
Yeah.
And also, we are coming down to the end. I do want to make a comment about Sandra Bland before we cut out. I'm not going to stop telling her story. The reason is because Sandra Bland could have been me. That is how I feel. I'm not disrespectful to police officers whenever I'm pulled over, whenever I come in contact with them, because I'm just simply a polite woman. My parents taught me to be that way.
Right.
However, if I'm having a bad day, I don't know. You know, things are going really bad, and this police officer pulls me over and starts asking me dumb questions. I've done nothing wrong. And I said, look, dude, I'm not putting out my cigarette. It's very, you know, that's not, you know, that's something that might happen. I might say that. Look, dude, I don't give a crap. This is my last cigarette. I ain't putting it out. You know, and the next thing you know, I'm dragged out of the car, and the next thing you know, 3 days later, I'm killed, and people are now bringing up my past and talking about, you know, what I did wrong, when in reality, we all know that it was the police officer who did something wrong to precipitate the whole thing. So I just want to, I want to let my listeners know that the reason why I'm paying so much close attention to Sandra Bland is because Sandra Bland could have been me. And I'll tell you, I'll tell all the listeners right now and all my friends, I said, please, please, remember this. I will never, would never commit suicide under those circumstances like that. Don't let anybody ever tell you that. And on top of that, really, I don't disrespect people. I'm a very polite woman. You see me in the street, you think I'm the nicest lady in the world. I would never disrespect a police officer, and that has nothing to do with society. It has to do with the way my parents raised me. And in any event, the reality is, even if I do not disrespect a police officer, Sandra Bland could have been me.
Yes.
So it is really important to keep spreading the word. I'm not afraid of people you know, arguing with me over the police and so on and so forth. It's okay. I'll take the argument. I'll argue all day long. I've been blocked by some of my, you know, I'm a criminal justice major. I graduated from St. John's with a criminal justice degree, and then I worked for lawyers for 10 years, so I have a pretty good, and I'm a writer, I'm a journalist, I have a pretty good grasp on the Constitution, on the law, and so forth. I'm not afraid to give people my opinion, you know, I do have some knowledge as to, you know, the way the criminal justice system works. I graduated with honors. I mean, I know what the criminal justice system is, although I've never worked as a law enforcement officer. At the same time, I do know that there are lots and lots of problems, and I'm not afraid to talk about it. And the other thing I want to say real quick is the Republican Party is doing themselves a disservice, because if they keep protecting the police and police brutality, we're going to have another Democrat. We're going to have Hillary Clinton for president. And you could thank the Republicans.
No, because, I don't want that.
No, I don't want it either. But, right, Fred, I've been talking to you, I talked to you today about that. I'm telling you, I think the Republicans are insane. Okay, Republicans, you're conservatives. You believe in the Constitution. Well, how about we hold the police accountable for their actions?
Right, yeah.
What's the problem? No, they don't want to. They want to suck their, you know what? They might as well... they might as well take a bunch of police officers and start, you know, sucking, you know what, because what's the difference? Nobody, no American believes in that crap, okay? They don't want you out there being their cheerleader. We want everybody held accountable. Priests, police, school teachers, doctors, everybody. You commit a crime, you get held accountable. Police officers are not above the law. Okay, we're at the end of the show, guys. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Ted Tapier and Efren Gonzalez. We are, Lisa, I'm ready to sing the Star Spangled Banner. Good night, everyone. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
What?
God bless America. Take care. God bless America. Good night, everyone. Good night.
God bless you.
Good night.
Eugene.